Welcome, everybody, to ChristianFamily.com, and today we're going to begin our study of Judges, Lesson 1. It's called Further Conquest of the Promised Land, and the passage is Judges 1, verses 1 to 26, key verse, verse 1. It'll be the message will be preached by myself, Kevin Jesmer, and to open up this session, Mark Jesmer will sing a solo, I Need Thee Every Hour.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, O bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Hello there. The title of this message is Further Conquest of the Promised Land, Judges 1, verses 1 to 26, and the key verse, verse 1. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, "Who of us is to go up first and fight against the Canaanites?" Part 1, Introduction to the Book of Judges. The Book of Judges covers a period of history between the death of Joshua and the establishment of the monarchy, 1375 BC to 1055 BC. It spans a period of about 325 years, recording six successive periods of oppression and deliverance. It's an account of a lengthy and gradual conquest of the Promised Land. Generally speaking, Judges is a book about sin and its consequences, and about God who raises up his leaders to deliver his people during times of crisis. First, Judges is a book about sin and its consequences. After the death of Joshua, there was a leadership void. Under Joshua, the Israelites began strong, but soon they were sidetracked by fear, weariness, lack of discipline, and a pursuit of their own interests. As a result, their faith began to wane, and they were unable to completely defeat the powerful Canaanites. The Canaanites lived in city-states, where each city-state had its own government, army, and laws. One reason that the Canaan was so difficult to conquer was that each city had to be defeated individually. There was no single king who could surrender the entire country into the hands of the Israelites. They fought hard and met many political and military challenges, but facing spiritual challenges proved much more difficult, for Canaan's biggest threat to Israel was not its armies, but its religion. The unholy but attractive lifestyle of the Canaanites proved more dangerous than their military might. Canaanite religion idealized evil, cruelty and war, sexual immorality, selfish greed, and materialism. The Israelites fell into idolatry and cultural pressures and compromised their faith. This happened time after time, one generation after another. Each time God removed his hand of protection from his people and allowed hostile neighbors to harass them. The Lord withdrew his promise to help drive the people out and bless the Israelites in battle. What was the result of the Israelites' abandonment of following God and worshiping idols? Well, Judges 21:25 reads, "In those days Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit." After Joshua's death, there was no central government. There was no one who could who stood up as a shepherd for the people. Each person became a law unto themselves. God could not bless them, and they suffered endlessly. But there is a bright side to this story. Second Judges is a book about God who raises up leaders in times of crises to deliver his people. When the people turned to God in repentance and cried out for help, he raised up a judge, a leader, who would deliver them. Then, for the rest of the judge's lifetime, the land would have peace. And so Judges is a book about these heroes, 12 men and women whom God worked through to deliver Israel from its oppressors. There was a variety of deliverers, from Othniel to Samson. They were used to deliver God's people to freedom and bring about true worship of God. The major judges are listed among the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Listen to what verses 30 to 32 say about them. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. So here it is. Quote, I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 to 32. These judges were people. They were not perfect, but sinners in need of God's salvation. They too did what was right in their own eyes at one point, but they were people of faith who stood up for the Lord at the critical moment. They were submissive to God, and God used them. As a result, they stood out as bright stars in the night sky. Nowadays, it's hard for anyone to rise to greatness. It's easy for us to think that we are simply a cog in a wheel among other cogs. Who can be our heroes? Sports stars? Movie stars? Big business CEOs? If we do want to rise to the occasion, what do we rise up to? No one knows. The judges and their courageous lives of faith are great encouragements to us today. As we study the book of Judges, take a good look at these biblical heroes. Learn their dependence on God and their obedience to his commands. Be amazed at God's unlimited grace and mercy as he delivers his people again and again. Let's see God who strengthens the weak and makes them strong and uses them to bring about wonderful deeds of salvation. Most of all, let's discover Jesus and the gospel nestled within these exciting biblical accounts. Part 2, Israel fights the remaining Canaanites. Now let's think about Judges chapter 1. The book of Judges, book of Joshua ends with the tribes taking a stand for God. They were ready to experience all the blessings of the promised land. The Lord had given Canaan to the Israelites, but they needed faith to go in and take it. Each tribe was responsible to take hold of their own particular region. But the problem is that their leader, Joshua, had died. Joshua was a great commander, for he had kept the people focused on God and his purposes. He faithfully obeyed the Lord and led the Israelites to one military victory after another until the people occupied the land. Joshua had been the obvious successor to Moses, but now, after his death, there was no obvious successor to Joshua. Soon, Israel began to lose its firm grip on the land. During this time of leadership, during this crisis of leadership, Israel had to make a very important decision to turn to God. And so they did in verse 1. Let's read verse 1 together. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, "Who of us is going to go up to fight against the Canaanites?" Joshua died, but God did not die. And the Israelites asked the Lord for direction. The people's real leader is always God himself. In times of difficulty and transition, we should always ask the Lord what we should do. And when we answer, it is best to obey. And when he answers, it is best to obey. Don't get me wrong, God uses leaders, he works through leaders. But we must always ask the Lord, personally, as we acknowledge God as our commander-in-chief. He will come through with us in his wisdom and clear direction every time as we depend on him in prayer. God called and inspired one tribe to stand up in the gap and take leadership. Let's read verse 2. Okay. The Lord answered, "Judah shall go up. I have given the land into their hands." Is it any mistake that Judah was asked to go first? I think not. The leadership of the tribe of Judah is alluded to in Genesis. 500 years previous, the man Judah was a great sinner. He even sold his brother Joseph into slavery. He lied to his father about Joseph's condition. He slept with prostitutes. But when God worked through Joseph to help his brothers to repent, Judah was first to repent. Later on, Jacob blessed his sons and their descendants. In Genesis 49, in regards to Judah, Genesis 49, 8 to 12 reads, okay, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes will be darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. The tribe of Judah would be totally blessed. His tribe would be strong and take the lead in battle against its enemies. His tribe would be first among the others. Kings and prophets would come from Judah. King David was from Judah. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Judah was one of the last of the tribes of Israel to exist. I think most Jewish people today are from the tribe of Judah. God clearly believed Judah's repentance and faith, and clearly blessed Judah's repentance and faith by blessing his descendants. God still blesses the lives and the descendants of those who embrace repentance and faith today. The tribe of Judah accepted the challenge and took the lead. Let's read verse 3. Okay. The men of Judah then said to the Simeonites, their fellow Israelites, come up with us into the territory allotted to us and fight against the Canaanites. We will go with you into yours. So the Simeonites went with them. It is noteworthy that the men of Judah took the lead in battle. To take the lead meant sacrificing and suffering. It meant the possibility of failure and even death. But they had courage and faith and a deep sense of calling. There are times when we must hear the voice of the Lord and stand up and take leadership. It is never a time to shrink back, but a time to embrace faith and manifest courage. Part 3, the tribe of Judah is like Christ. Judah is standing in the forefront and taking the lead is alluding to Jesus Christ. Jesus is from the house and line of Judah. Jesus is the Lion of Judah. So in essence, by showing that Judah is taking the lead in the conquest of the promised land, shows us that Jesus has taken the lead and conquered the way for us to enter the kingdom of God. If we follow our heavenly Judah, the Lion of Judah, Jesus, we will victoriously pass through this world and navigate the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Simeon has been cursed because of the slaughter of the Shechemites. Look at Genesis 34, 1-31 as a reference. Simeon and Levi did not like what Prince Shechem did to their sister Dinah, and so they put all the men of Shechem to the sword. They were men of violence. Jacob's blessing to Simeon in Genesis was not good. Genesis 49, verses 5-7 reads, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger so fierce and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. The curse meant that they would have no inheritance in Israel to their own. Their people would be scattered among the other tribes. This is a serious matter for any Israelite tribe, for they really wanted their own identity and inheritance in the promised land. Not to have it constantly reminded them that they somehow had been cursed. But Judah stepped up and revealed the grace of God towards the Simeonites. Look at verse 3 again. Okay. The men of Judah then said to the Simeonites, their fellow Israelites, come up with us into the territory allotted to us to fight against the Canaanites. We will in turn go with you into yours. So the Simeonites went with them. First, Judah referred to them as brothers. Judah embraced them and gave them hope and a future in the land. They were to fight side by side in the battle as brothers. Second, Judah, who had the largest inheritance in the land, gave some of their inheritance to Simeon. It lay within their inheritance. This is the verified in Joshua 19:1, which reads, the second lot came out of the tribe of Simeon, clan by clan. Their inheritance lay within the territory of Judah. The tribe of Judah is revealing the wonderful grace of God. Actually, we all, because of our sin, had no inheritance in the kingdom of God. We were all like orphans, alone and destitute in this world. We had no part in God's family and had no part in God's spiritual blessings. We were destined to spend an eternity separated from the Lord. Actually, the whole humanity was cursed because of the fall. Consequently, we all had no inheritance. But Jesus took pity on us. He saved us from our poor spiritual condition. He heard the cry of our hearts. He reached out to us and forgave us. He cleansed us of our sins and made us holy by His grace poured out on us on the cross. He made us His precious children. God is our Father. We are now part of His family with a rich inheritance in the kingdom of God. And as we live in this world, we fight the spiritual battle side by side with our Savior, Jesus Christ. The inheritance also reveals the origin of our salvation. Look at Joshua 19:1 again, which reads, "The second lot came out of the tribe of Simeon, clan by clan. Their inheritance lay within the territory of Judah." Our salvation lies within Jesus. When we are in Christ, we are saved and have a rich inheritance in the kingdom of God. Nothing can take this away from us. Praise the Lord. Part 4, the battle is not over. Entering the promised land did not mean that the fighting was over. Look at verses 4 to 6 and then 8 to 11. "When Judah attacked, the Lord gave the Canaanites and Perizzites into their hands, and they struck down 10,000 men at Bezek. It was there that they found Adonai Bezek and fought against him, putting to rout the Canaanites and Perizzites. The men of Judah attacked Jerusalem also and took it. They put the city to the sword and set it on fire. After that, Judah went to fight against the Canaanites living in the hill country, the Negev and the western foothills. They advanced against the Canaanites living in Hebron, formerly called Kiriath Arba, and they defeated Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai. From there, they advanced against the people living in Debir, formerly called Kiriath Sefer." There are more accounts of battles and victories in verses 16 to 26. There are also some beautiful co-working going on in these accounts. Can we see some examples? In verse 17, the men of Judah and Simeon fought together. We can see that the individual men, or each tribe, coming together to fight hard under one unit. The work of God is always done through co-working, together. It's never a one-man show. Just because we have been saved and are part of God's family does not mean that our struggles are over, you know. We still have a spiritual struggle to grow and mature as Christians. We need to battle temptations and idol worship in our hearts, fighting the idols of our cultures around us, which are, I think you know what the idols of our land are. The Bible says, in our struggle against sin, we have not resisted to the point of shedding our blood. What about Paul's exhortation to run like an athlete who wants to win the prize? This sounds harsh to some, but we need to struggle and grow and not be self-confident in ourselves, but rather confident in Jesus who goes along with us in the spiritual battle. If we think we are so confident in ourselves, we will fall. There was one woman who knew how to fight inwardly. Look at chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Okay? "And Caleb said, 'I will give my daughter Aksa in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kiriath Sefer.' Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter Aksa in marriage to him. One day when she came to Othniel, she urged him to ask her father for a field. When she got off her donkey, Caleb asked her, 'What can I do for you?' She replied, 'Do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water.' So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. She was given some of the land. If the land was to be given to her family, then she felt she also had the right to ask for the springs of water to make the field fertile, which she did, and which she received. She had great faith. She asked and received God's blessing and favor. She had a spirit of conquest in her heart. God blesses those who ask. Yes, He does. The Bible says that we can ask Him for the Holy Spirit. There is the parable of the persistent widow. Those who ask and dedicate what they ask for to be used for God's purpose and glory receive from the Lord. We need bold, claiming faith, not just for blessings and money for our own needs, but for spiritual blessings that God wants to bless us with. But be careful what you ask for, because those who are given much, much more will be asked." In today's study, we learn the importance of coming to God in prayer in times of crisis and transition. We learn the importance of standing up as leaders and taking the lead in the spiritual battles we face in this life. We also learn the importance of co-working and possessing a fighting spirit within us. Most of all, we learn about the grace of Jesus, who calls us brothers and sisters and fights along with us. We learn of His grace that conquered the way for us to enter into eternal our internal inheritance, the kingdom of God. All of this comes when we are found in Christ. Let us praise God for His including grace. Yes, His including grace that includes even you and me, and may we be more inclusive of others, reflecting the heart of Jesus. Thank you very much. And the key verse of our passage once again, verse 1, let's read that together. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, who of us is to go up first and fight against the Canaanites? Let me pray. Dear Lord Heavenly Father, thank you so much for opening the way for us to enter the promised land, the kingdom of heaven. Jesus fought for us like our heavenly Judah, opened the way for us through His suffering, death, and resurrection. And thank you that we have a rich inheritance in you. Lord, help us to reflect the heart of Jesus in our lives. And bless our study of the book of Judges. Help it to be help the study to be very blessed. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.